Now, shortly after the attack on 9/11, the United States tried to gather support from various Muslim nations. And their goal was is to get countries like Saudi Arabia, Oman, Uzbekistan. They wanted to get these countries to allow them to use their bases for bringing in equipment as well as for launching airstrikes against the Taliban in Afghanistan. And the goal was to get Osama bin Laden. Now, shortly after this happened back in 2001, I clipped out an article, and it was entitled "Vow to Wipe Out Bin Laden Convinced Arabs and Muslims." And what the article is basically describing is the fact that the Muslim nations who George Bush Sr. was trying to get together was having a hard time wanting to jump on board, because the concern was is that we wouldn't fulfill our commitment and we wouldn't go in and take out Osama bin Laden. Their concern was that then Osama bin Laden afterwards would come and wreak vengeance upon those countries who helped the Americans. And just reading from this article, one senior official said, "It took some convincing to get our friends to believe we meant what we said." See, these Muslim nations that were sympathetic to our plight, what happened, their whole concern is that after a while, the United States would give up. Things would get a little tough, and then we would give up. And so they wanted assurances that we would be true to our word. And that's the whole concern that we had in getting these different Muslim countries to help us with the war on terrorism. Now, it's not just, of course, nations that struggle with faithfulness to be true to their word. It's also people, isn't it? Individuals. We have a tremendous problem in our country with faithfulness in terms of marriage, business, and all sorts of personal relationships. And as a result, it's very important that we understand that we serve a God who is faithful. And he gives us the exact concept of what it means to be faithful to each other and then faithful to him. Now, in our study of the attributes of God, today we find ourselves talking about the faithfulness of God. But not only are we going to talk about the faithfulness of God, but we're also going to be talking about the fact that God is truthful. Now, those are two different attributes of God, but there's so much interplay that I'm going to talk about God's truthfulness because it's so related to his faithfulness. Much like when I talked about God being merciful, I ended up talking a lot about grace at the same time. So today what we're going to do is we're going to talk about God's faithfulness. And don't be deceived. Just because faithful and truthful are at the bottom of the list almost, that doesn't mean they're less important. In fact, God's faithfulness is one of the most important attributes for you and me. The fact that God is faithful and he is true to his word. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for this morning, and we are grateful that you're a God of faithfulness, and that we can sing songs like "Great is thy faithfulness," and they're absolutely true. Help us now as we look at your word together to appreciate your faithfulness even more. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I have a question for you. What do you think of when you think of the word faithful? I mean, what comes to mind? Well, you know, if you look in a dictionary and you look at the word faithful, you'll get something like this: true to one's word, promises, vows, etc. And by the way, that's why it's appropriate to talk about God being truthful when you talk about his faithfulness, because faithfulness is really somebody being true to their word, true to their vows. Loyal, genuine, reliable, dependable, trustworthy. I mean, you could say a loyal friend is also a faithful friend, or you could call him a true friend. And so those things all run together. And then it also means accurate, true to fact, to a standard or original. When you see a movie and you've read the book and someone says, well, was it faithful to the book? What you're saying is, was it true, or did it take a bunch of liberties with the book, right? If you look at a painting and it's a copy of an original, that's a faithful copy of the original. What we're saying is it's a truthful copy. When the Bible describes God, it frequently describes his character as being true and genuine and faithful. In fact, when you look at how Scripture describes God, he alone is the true God. Secondly, he always tells the truth. And then thirdly, he ever proves himself true. And when we say he ever proves himself true, another way you can say that is he's faithful. He's faithful. So what I want to do is look at each one of these And just look at different passages that talk about God being a true God, God being a God who is ever proving himself true and always tells the truth. First of all, Jeremiah 10:10, the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and the everlasting King. John 17:3, this is eternal life that they may know you, the only true God. 1 John 5:20-21, and we know that the Son of God has come and he has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, in the Son of Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, guard yourself from idols. A lot of truths there, isn't it? Revelation 6:10, they cried out with a loud voice saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true? Now, over and over you get in Scripture God being called the true God. And why is that? Well, if you look at 1 John, guard yourself from idols. There's a lot of false gods out there. A lot of false gods roaming. In fact, Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life, right? False gods were a real problem in the ancient world. And understand, false gods were very fickle, capricious, and moody. And, of course, that makes sense because people simply made those gods in their own image. And so the Bible goes out of its way to repeatedly say there's one true God. And because he's a true God, how should we expect him to speak? In truth. Whereas the fickle, capricious gods had no real desire necessarily to be true in the writings that we read from the ancients. So let's just take a look. 1 Samuel 15, also the glory of God, another way of talking about God, the glory of God will not lie or change his mind. Titus 1, for the faith of those chosen of God and the knowledge of the truth which is according to godliness in the hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised long ages ago. God can't lie. We look in Hebrews 6:18, in the same way, God, desiring even more to show to the heirs of the promise the unchangeableness of his purpose, interposed with an oath so that by two unchangeable things, in which it's impossible for God to lie. See, we get this statement several times in Scripture. Truly I have spoken, truly I will bring it to pass. I have planned it, surely I will do it. God is a God who always speaks the truth. Why? Well, he's the true God. Expect the true God to always speak the truth. Don't be surprised if false gods do all sorts of capricious, fickle things and go back on their word. Why? Because people made them up in their own image. The Bible stresses God is the true God and he only speaks the truth. Always. You know, George Washington, there's American lore that George Washington once said with the cherry tree, you know, I never tell a lie. Told his dad, you know, I cannot tell a lie. That's false. George Washington can tell a lie. In fact, I bet George Washington, at some point in his life, told a fib or a lie. There's only one person who cannot tell a lie. That's God. Only God cannot tell a lie. Only God cannot tell a lie. And because he proves himself, or because he is a God who is true and always tells the truth, that means he's faithful. And throughout Scriptures, I mean, we just sang a song about great is thy faithfulness, didn't we? Throughout Scripture, we're going to see God is repeatedly called faithful. He's a faithful God. So let's look at a couple passages about God's faithfulness. Deuteronomy 7:9. Know therefore that the Lord your God, he is a God, the faithful God. The faithful God. Who keeps his covenant and his loving kindness to a thousandth generation with those who love him and keep his commandments. Later in Deuteronomy, the rock, his work is perfect. For all his ways are just, a God of faithfulness. God's a God of faithfulness. Without injustice, righteous and upright is he. Or Lamentations 3:22 and 23, which by the way, was the basis for this song, Great is Thy Faithfulness. That's where the author got his inspiration, Lamentations 3. The Lord's loving kindness indeed never cease, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Great is your faithfulness. If you look in Psalm 36:5, and this is a characteristic type of thing you'll find in the Psalms. Your loving kindness, O Lord, extends to the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies. 1 Thessalonians 5:24, faithful is he who calls you, and he will also bring it to pass. Or how about 2 Corinthians 1? But as God is faithful, our word to you is not yes and no, For the Son of God, Christ Jesus, who is preached among you by us, by me and Silvanus and Timothy, was not yes and no, but yes in him. For as many are the promises of God in him, they are yes. God doesn't vacillate back and forth. It's not yes, no, maybe so. No, it's never that. When God makes a promise, you can write it down. It's in the book. It's going to happen. It's a guarantee when God makes a promise. God always fulfills his promises. Why? He's the only true God. He only speaks the truth. There's nothing else he can do. That's the way he is. He's a God who makes promises, and he's a God who fulfills his promises. And because of that, we talk about him being a faithful God. Our God is a faithful God. He doesn't vacillate back and forth. You can count on him to always fulfill what he says. Now, you know, one of my favorite scenes in The Lord of the Rings. Now, I love The Lord of the Rings. I've seen it. One of my favorite scenes. I think this is one of the most important scenes. There's a little hobbit named Frodo. And Frodo is on this quest with his companions to take back this evil ring that Sauron, you know, at Mordor. He's got to get this ring back and throw it in this flaming river to end the evil. Well, he's going on this journey, and while he's on this journey, they get attacked several times, and what he realizes is, after he loses one friend, you know, I've got to go alone. I need to go alone. And so what he does is he sneaks out to a boat, and he's going to go across this river and get in the river and take off and leave his companions behind and go alone because he doesn't want to hurt them. Now, as he takes off in the boat, Samwise Gamgee sees him. Now, Samwise Gamgee is another hobbit. It's his buddy. In fact, he takes care of his lawn. But Samwise had made a promise to Gandalf the wizard. He had made this promise that he would stick with Frodo and never leave his side. And so he gets out in the water, and he sees Frodo taking off. And so he desperately tries to go out and get in the boat with Frodo. And as he goes out and tries to get in the boat, it's obvious he doesn't know how to swim, and he starts to go down. In fact, he comes this close to drowning. And when he finally gets back in the boat, he says, I think, the most spectacular lines in the entire movie, the most moving lines and the most impactful lines in the entire show. I made a promise, Mr. Frodo, a promise. Don't you leave him, Samwise Gamgee. And I don't mean to, and I don't mean to. As he pushed back tears. Understand, Samwise Gamgee is the hero of The Lord of the Rings. Why? He's the embodiment of faithfulness. He's the embodiment of faithfulness in the movie. And he goes on this quest, and he's at Frodo's side all the way through this horrible journey. And he's the one that makes everything turn out fine. His faithfulness. And so in my mind, he is the greatest hero. And as also in my mind, he's also a fabulous example. He gives us just a small smidget of an idea of God's faithfulness to us, I think. Samwise Gamgee, incredible in faithfulness, gives us a hint of God's faithfulness. Now, I want to take just a few minutes. We've talked about the fact that God is a faithful God, but, you know, he actually gives specific areas where he's faithful. We don't just get in the scripture, oh, he's a faithful God, he's faithful, he's faithful. No, no, we're told specific areas where God's faithful. And so what I want to do is look at some specific areas of God's faithfulness. For instance, in 1 Peter 4, it says, therefore, those who suffer according to the will of God shall entrust their souls to a faithful creator. Isn't it interesting it says a faithful creator? In doing what's right. In other words, when you suffer for something, you can be guaranteed God recognizes it and God's going to reward it. He's faithful. You never lose for suffering for righteousness' sake. You always come out ahead. Why? Because he's a faithful creator. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has overtaken you but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but will also provide the way of escape. God's faithful to never put you in a situation you can't handle. He'll never allow you to be in a situation where, you know what, you spiritually are doomed. There's no way out. He never allows that. He always puts you in situations where he will give you the grace to make it through. And I might be real difficult, but you know what? He's never going to make it too hard you can't handle. Second Thessalonians 3:3, but the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen you and protect you from the evil. And do you realize as a Christian, you have the greatest enemy in the universe? Oh my goodness, Satan. Well, God promises he will strengthen and protect you from him. Now, if you're a non-believer, you don't have any assurance of that whatsoever. But as a believer, God will protect you from the evil one. Psalm 119:75, I know, O Lord, that your judgments are righteous and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. God's faithfulness is such as when you start to really get off the path, he'll afflict you. He'll allow some difficult things to get you back straight. And that's faithfulness, actually. God's faithful to get your attention. Or how about 1 John 1:9? If we confess our sins, he's faithful and righteous. Or you could translate it faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. No matter what you have done, no matter how awful, God's faithfulness is such, he's always there to forgive. In fact, get this. In 2 Timothy 2:12 and 13, if we endure, we will reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. That's amazing, isn't it? As a Christian, if you basically are a flop, if you're a flop, guess what? You will not reign with him. Oh, you'll be in heaven, but you're not going to reign. And you know what? There'll be no praise. You get no praise. In fact, you'll probably get a little tongue lashing. But you know what? He's not going to kick you out. Why? He remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. When you become a believer and you're sealed with the Holy Spirit, he cannot deny that spirit that he's put inside you. Oh, you can lose out on rewards and all sorts of accolades, but you know what? You can't lose your salvation. Why? Because he's faithful. 1 Corinthians 1. Awaiting eagerly the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm you to the end, blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, through whom you were called into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. In other words, Paul is saying, every believer will one day be presented blameless. Well, you know, even if I mess up a lot, blameless. That's the idea in Ephesians 5, the bride that's going to be presented in Revelation 19. The church will be made blameless. Well, what about if I have a lot of blood? You'll be made blameless. Why? Because he's faithful. Because he's faithful. In fact, you know, when he does come back, it's interesting how he's described. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Also, righteousness will be the belt around his loins and faithfulness the belt around his waist. And then when you look in Revelation, it says, and I saw the heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on is called, of all things, faithful and true, and there they are right together. Faithful and true, and in righteousness he judges and wages war. Why does this faithfulness show up in these eschatological passages? I'll tell you why. Because he's promised for a long time he's going to fix evil on the earth. He's promised, and we've waited and waited and waited, and people say, well, where is this coming? That even shows up in the book of Peter, right? Where is this coming? Things have gone on the same as they always have gone on. He's made a promise. He's made a prediction. He's going to fix the evil on the earth. And when he comes back, he's going to have a big old belt, faithfulness. Why? I told you I would. I promised you. And I will. He's the Lord alone. This is his earth. And he's going to come back and take it. And he's going to vindicate himself and vindicate his people. He will prove faithful. So as a result, what you see is this. There's a lot of things that when the Bible talks about God being faithful, that's in the backdrop of what that means. He's faithful to recognize and reward our suffering. He's faithful to get our attention when we need correction. He's faithful to protect us from Satan. He's faithful not to allow us to face more than we can handle. He's faithful to forgive us when we fail. He's faithful to us even when we aren't faithful to him. He's faithful to one day make us totally blameless before him. And he's faithful eventually to deal with all the world's wickedness. That's what he's faithful to do. Great is thy faithfulness. And you and I depend on all that. And you might not think about that, but that's why his faithfulness is one of his most important attributes. Because he could make all sorts of promises as an all-powerful, all-knowing God, make all sorts of, and then he could renege and be just as fickle as an ancient God. I didn't really mean all that. Y'all are just too bad. I changed my mind. Forget all that stuff I said. Well, he can't do that. That's not in his nature. Now, because God is a God of faithfulness, because he is, and remember, we talked about this when we began our series on the attributes of God. Some of God's attributes are what we call incommunicable. In other words, you can't do it. You can't be omniscient. You can't be omnipresent. You can't be immutable. You can't be all spiritual. You're made up of a body as well. You can't, you know. And then there's what we call the communicable attributes of God, the gifts, the attributes of his goodness, that to a degree we can be loving, to a degree we can be holy, to a degree. I mean, these are things we're called to do in Scripture. And guess what? We're called to be faithful and true because he is. Okay? So let's look at a couple passages. Ephesians 4, put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth, each with one another, with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Proverbs 27:6, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal faithfully are his delight. Proverbs 27:6, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but deceitful are the kisses of an enemy. And I can't help but think of that passage in correlation with the other psalm we looked at. God's faithful to afflict us when we need it. Why? Because a true friend will reprove you and get after you when you need it, right? Faithful are the wounds of a friend, deceitful are the kisses of an enemy. Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness. It's one of the fruits of the Spirit that we're supposed to have. We're supposed to be faithful people. That's God's desire for us. That's what we're supposed to do, is be faithful to one another, be truthful with one another. Now, my question is simply this. Do you consider yourself to be faithful? And think about it for a second. Do you think, I mean, I oftentimes will ask young married or folks potentially get married, you know, tell me the things about the other person you so appreciate. And sometimes people say, well, I'm real loyal and faithful. Well, what comes to your mind? And I always prod them. Okay, why do you say that? What are you faithful about? Why would somebody call you loyal? Do you consider yourself faithful? Faithful to your spouse. Faithful to your spouse. I mentioned this earlier, but our country's in a heap of trouble. We've got a lot of problems, and a lot of it has to do with people that aren't faithful to their spouse. Determine you're going to be faithful. Determine as much as it depends on you, okay? Determine to be faithful to your spouse. Are you faithful in your business deals? A Dallas businessman once said, you know, I used to be able to go into business deals and a handshake was all I needed to do. Because now I have to take a group of lawyers with me wherever I go. Why? Because people aren't faithful anymore. They promised you to pay you this. They don't. They promised to do the job this way. They didn't. That's important, to be faithful and true to your word in your business dealings. Well, what about little bitty things? Little things like, hey, I'll show up and I'll help you and I'll be there at 4:30. You never really show up. Okay? That happens to everybody, but I'm just talking about typically. I mean, do you think people, when you tell them you're going to do something, they go, oh, yeah, right, fat chance of that. I mean, when you tell your wife, guys, I'll fix that real soon. Is that something that happens, or is that code that the females know, well, fat chance, that's never going to happen. Or maybe next year. Real soon means maybe next year. And you want to be faithful to your word. If you say you're going to volunteer for a church ministry, you want to jump in and do it. I mean, my experience dealing with folks in churches is about 50% of the folks that volunteer say they'll do something, don't do it. In fact, I tell folks, whether it's a discipleship or a ministry they're starting, I say, understand, 50% of the people who tell you they'll help will not do it. They're not going to. It's just, we say we'll do things a lot. I mean, I've got, you know, we get responses from folks. They'll come to the church and they'll fill out a form, "I want to become a member." And then we never see them again. And I'm thinking, first of all, why would you want to become a member after one visit? Okay, I'm not that great. And the singing group is good, but they're not that great. I mean, you can't after one visit, but if you're ready to become a member and then we can't find you again, it's like, well, why did you write that down? I want to, that didn't mean anything, did it? Yeah. You want to be somebody who's faithful, that when you want to be somebody when other people are talking about you, they say, you know what? If you tell her, it gets done. If you tell him that, he'll do it. Okay? Now you might have to remind him that, yeah, that's just human nature, but you know what? It will get done. And we all know, folks, that it never gets done. That doesn't, you don't want that to be you. You want to be faithful to your word. Why? Because God's faithful to his word, and he expects and wants us to be faithful to our word. Now, it might be that 90% of politicians don't follow through with their campaign promises, and that might be a low number, okay? But we bash them pretty rigorously, don't we? So we as Christians really ought to do better than the politicians. You know, you want to be somebody that people can count on you. And not only do you want to be faithful to other people, but more importantly, we want to be faithful to God, don't we? I mean, you really want to be faithful to God. You want to be faithful. And why? Well, the writer of Hebrews puts it this way. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. In other words, God is so faithful. He's made so many promises. He's been faithful to you. Don't waver in your hope. Be faithful. Because he's faithful. So you're supposed to be faithful to God. Why? Because he's faithful to you. He deserves it. He deserves it. But not only does God deserve our faithfulness, and this is the grace of God right here, he even rewards it. God will reward you for your faithfulness. God will reward you for your faithfulness. In fact, let's just look at a couple passages and see if you can tell the areas where he especially rewards us. Luke 16, he who is faithful in a very little thing is faithful also in much, and he who is unrighteous in a very little thing is unrighteous also in much. Therefore, if you've not been faithful in the use of unrighteous wealth, what's that? Money, resources. If you're not faithful with those resources, who will entrust true riches to you? And if you've not been faithful in the use of which is another's, who's going to give you that which is your own? See, the way you handle your finances, the way you handle your resources will determine just what kind of things God's going to give you in the future to have some type of authority and control over. And then also, Matthew, and this shows up in the other Gospels, you know the story. There's talents given out to different fellows, and each one gets a different amount. Who then is the faithful and sensible slave whom his master puts in charge of his household to give them their food at the proper time? Blessed is that slave whom his master finds so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. When the master comes back to see how his slaves, his servants have done, the issue is, have they been faithful? Matthew 25, later it says this, and also one who had received the two talents came up and said, "Master, you entrusted two talents to me. See, I've gained two more talents." His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." Your faithfulness with your finances and your resources will determine much of what God's going to do with you in the future, and your faithfulness to the abilities, the talents. Every Christian has at least one spiritual gift. Every Christian has all sorts of opportunities to use their life for the kingdom. The question is what are you doing with them? Because one day he's going to come back. And when he comes back, the issue is faithfulness. I've been faithful to you. Have you been faithful for all the goodies you've received? And have you been faithful with the gifts and abilities I've given you for the benefit of the church body? Are you using them? And how faithful you are to those gifts and abilities I've given you will be determinative about what kind of responsibilities I'm giving you in the kingdom, which you can't even imagine. I'm telling you, when he comes back, the thing you're going, or if you go meet him before he comes back, the thing you're going to want to hear is that word. That word, faithful, that's what you're going to want to hear. You're going to want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful slave. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's what you're going to want to hear more than anything else. You're going to want to hear your name and the word faithful attached. God is a faithful God, and he expects us to be faithful. And in his graciousness, he's even going to reward us for our faithfulness. He's looking for faithful people, because whatever you see down here is just a microcosm of what this kingdom is going to blow up to be in the book of Revelation. And you want to be somebody there that has special responsibilities, special places of responsibility to run that kingdom for your master, because that's going to bring the most joy. Let's stand and pray. Lord God, we do thank you for this morning, and we are so grateful for your faithfulness to us. Great is your faithfulness. We don't deserve your faithfulness, but you are faithfulness even when we deny you. Even when we are somebody that proves to be faithless, you turn out to be faithful to us. We thank you that one day we'll be made blameless, even though there's a lot of blame in our lives, each one of us, but one day we'll be made blameless, all because of your faithfulness. And that because of your faithfulness, you're going to come back and fix all the problems on this planet and reign. Lord, help us to be faithful people. Help us to do it because we understand how much you have shown faithfulness to us, and help us to do it realizing that it delights you and you want to reward it. In your son's name we pray. Amen.